It's 28 minutes past 11 on this gorgeous Thursday morning. I'd say perfect flying conditions, but I'm not a pilot. I know a guy who is, though. I do love saying this. A Captain Tawanda Chiesa. Captain. Do you ever use that? You know how doctors... hello, Mr. Smith. No, it's Dr. Smith. Do you ever use that? You ever say to people, no, it's Captain Tawanda?
No, I don't take myself so seriously.
No? No. I'm sure that works in the clubs, but that's a story for us.
Taz will do. Good.
Look, so you came out of Tenerife, you started working with Ryanair, you were working on the right-hand side, you were the first officer. Why is it called first officer and not assistant or deputy pilot?
It comes from the Navy. The ranks in aviation, the terminology we use, how we speak on the radio, Maydays and Pans, they come from the Navy times.
Now, whilst we're quickly on this, just explain for maybe for those that don't know, one of the main jobs for the first officer is you're the liaison with the tower, you're the representative of the captain. So whilst the captain, in theory, in the eventuality of something going wrong or something happening, is concentrating on working the problem, part of your job, if you're in the right-hand side seat, is, of course, liaising with other people. Is that right?
This is defined now in aviation as the pilot flying and the pilot monitoring. And we don't, both of us can fly the airplane. The captain and the first officer. Flying the airplane is done the same.
Yeah, there's only one stick.
There's two.
You get a stick as well?
The first officer gets a stick. Of course he does.
Wow.
Even in an Airbus. Don't get me started on that. But
okay.
It amazes me how much... the whole role definition is misconstrued by people. Like, oh, you co-pilot, so you don't get to fly, do you? It's like, yeah, we both fly because if one,
the
other one, yeah,
this is radio. You have to tell, right? You can't just use your hands for motion.
Okay, so we both fly the airplane and we split. If it's two flights in the day, then one flies up, the other one flies down, and you decide based on the experience and so on. But it's the first officer's role is to assist the captain in the decision making and give him information, give him input. When he's not flying, he talks to the control tower. When the first officer's flying, the captain talks to the control tower. This is how we go in aviation.
I've got you.
Yeah.
So essentially, all the things we assume to be correct in the cockpit, no.
They're not. No.
It's a big shake of the head.
He's not there to carry my bag or get my coffee or whatever.
All right. Well, we'll come to that, Captain. Give me a moment. This is my control. So you get to Tenerife. You're with Ryanair. You're in the first officers. You're there for a couple of years. And then you move over to Norwegian. A career decision to move with Norwegian because it seems an airline, Ryanair, are pretty well established. And whilst they are expanding a few routes and a few more planes, they're pretty much where they are. Norwegian, when you joined them, were much more of a fledgling operation, and at the moment they're just booming, aren't they?
It's exponential expansion, we call it. I just fancied a change, actually, and I saw things I liked more in Norwegian than in Ryanair. Certain things were just done better from the feedback I got from people that were already in the company, and I think I made the correct decision.
Yeah, certainly where a few months ago it was time to upgrade from being first officer to actually being the pilot. Is there a process where you have to wait a certain period of time, you clock a few certain hours, do you go and knock on the boss's door? How does it change from you being in the right seat to the left seat?
First officers are pilots too, by the way.
I'm with you, but I'm just, you know.
Okay, so...
From being second in command to first in command.
Yes. The actual legalese of it in the regulations, to be a pilot in command, to be a captain, you need 1,500 hours, an airline transport pilot's license or a commercial pilot's license, and you need to be a minimum of 18 years old. What the airline sets is their own regulations. So in Ryanair, you need 3,000 hours to be a captain. In Norwegian, you need 4,000. So, yeah, you have to do it. You have to go for an interview where they ask you, it's a bit of a lad's chat, but like the old days in the Air Force. It's kind of like, right, so tell me about you. What's this? What's that? And they want you to know your bits and pieces, the important things. And they're basically getting a feel for you and deciding. It's a group of very senior pilots, usually the chief pilot, somebody from human resources, and somebody from performance department or something. And they want to see what you're like. They're very good at it. They're very succinct.
It's a personality. Personality is a big thing, isn't it?
It is. It's very important.
Particularly after, let's just say, the mistake that maybe another airline made with the German pilots and the Alps and what happened with that. Personality, mentality, psyche, very, very important. Don't get too deep.
Okay.
I've seen that look in your face. Don't get too deep. It's an important facet.
It is very important. I think that more than superior skill, I think the best thing any pilot can ever bring to the job is a superior personality, because it's all about the human relations. It's about how you get along with people. Even as a captain, it is, if you can't build a team, you got 15 minutes at the beginning of the day to mold potentially four or five strangers into a working unit, all pulling in the right direction. And without that, it's not going to work. You're going to have difficulties all day, because you will have challenges of personality, differences in opinion and everything. But if you're already on the back foot, it's very difficult for you to bring it back together.
Okay, you go through all that, you get the green lights, you move from the right chair to the left chair. See what I did there? And that very first flight, that maiden flight where you're the captain, where you're in control, you're the number one. Was that like, did that bring you back to your very first flight? Did that feel like the first day at school? Were you nervous? Were you composed? Were you just thinking, let's just have a nice and easy, non-eventful flight?
No. It is nerve-wracking and exciting. It's great. You know, you kind of sit there and you think, it's all mine, which is great. And you're always put with a very senior first officer for the first couple of months in my company, and you just enjoy the day. You're cutting your teeth. You're figuring out how you're going to do things and how you go. It's great.
Pilots these days, and it's not just because I'm sure we're all getting older, but I was always told you're old when policemen and politicians look young. I feel I'm old because pilots seem so much younger these days. I seem to recall pilots having to be in their 30s and maybe in their 40s. Now it's a younger generation. Is there any reason for that? Is it a fast tracking of skills? Is it because there's a need for more pilots?
There is a need for new pilots, and it's worldwide. But there's another thing that's going on, is this retirement bubble in aviation as well. There's a lot of people retiring in the next few years, and we probably didn't look at it back then. But a lot of the people that would have been young pilots in commercial airlines were actually in the Air Force or in the Armed Forces beforehand, before they joined commercial aviation. So that's why we haven't seen before, physically in front of our eyes, this rise of young pilots, as you would say. They were doing other things, maybe, before they came into aviation. And the more young people you see going into aviation, the more young people it inspires. So it's an increasing trend, but it's good, because I'm probably going to be flying for about 40 years. I could fly for now, which is a long time. Retirement age is 65.
Yeah. I've got a bit of a time constraint here. Literally, I could talk for hours and ask you on things, but I just want to go through a few little things which we often think. I use the royal we here. We're the passenger, okay?
Yes.
And we're on an 8 o'clock flight, and it's delayed by an hour and a half, and we're thinking, how often are the delays down to the airline? I'm just be general here. How often are they down to the airline? How often are they down to maybe the airport? How often are they down to maybe a passenger factor? And how often is it just purely because you guys are running late?
It's difficult to pinpoint, because every flight is different. When you file a flight plan, you have certain time constraints where you're expected to be somewhere. If you miss that for any reason, technical issue, late to boarding, whatever, you miss that slot, then you get another delay. So it could be a combination of factors. And no delay usually is made up of one factor uniquely. It's usually a combination of things come together, and that becomes a delay.